And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studios here at Hattishof for another edition of the Bears Coaches Show. We're with you until 7:30 tonight, joined by head coach John Fox for the first half hour of the program. You also hear him near the end of the show. I'm here with you as well, and thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm all right. Crazy, crazy weekend in Philadelphia, that's for sure. We'll get to the game in a minute, but it's happened, you know, in my years, too. You know, there are things that happen in aviation, and it happened to the Bears yesterday. A little bit of a delay, so we get in a little later than you had hoped.
No doubt. I think my experience has been you like finding those problems before you take off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a nervous flyer, so that's good news for me. That's for sure. I'm not certain you are, but in terms of your history, did you ever have anything worse than that where you just couldn't get out? You had to call it a day.
Yeah, I think.
Stay back in a hotel.
That did happen. We had a brand new plane. It was actually a new model of plane, and I don't know, some light went on or something, and it sat there the whole weekend, and we got stuck in New York. Yeah, so we did leave the next day. You know, you just adjust. That's what we do. You know, things happen, and you adjust, and you get by with it.
And the byproduct of that is guys could get some work done on the plane. Obviously, everybody wanted to get back home and so forth, but how'd you use your time, for example?
Well, with the iPads, you know, and the Internet the way it is now, you can download digital stuff, and basically, you know, I got the game viewed in the time there and even really started on San Francisco.
And what'd you see?
Well, it's pretty much what I saw on game day. You know, I think, you know, we played a really good football team. We were going to have to bring our A game in all three phases. Obviously, that did not occur. And, you know, the guys, you know, hung in there. I think it was 24-0 at halftime, and the final was 31-3. So there's no give up in these guys. We just got to play better. And, you know, the buck stops here on that. We all have to do better. We have to play better and coach better.
And some of the whys of the loss that you've already touched on, but let's begin, go down the checklist quickly. Running the ball, obviously, is what you want to do. They're great at stopping the run. That doesn't mean you can't try to run against them or be patient running, but just so few of plays, obviously, because of the third down situations and not converting in that first half, led to a real difficulty in getting it done.
Yeah, I think it was 16 first downs to zero at halftime. You know, you're not going to beat anybody doing that, especially, you know, the best record in football, the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, at their place, you know, there's no excuses. We just did not play well enough, and we were going to have to play really well to beat them. They're a very good football team. Like I said, probably right now the best record in football. You know, and that was really in all three phases, you know, not just on offense. But, you know, in games we've been able to run the ball. You know, we've been competitive, won games and in games, and you know, in some situations where we weren't, we haven't been. So that's a real key to our offense and really keeping people off of us for four quarters.
And no matter what they do defensively, and they're really good, again, stopping the run, do you go in trying to believe that, yes, we will still be able to do it? I know we got to adjust our game plan to meet that demand, but do you go in thinking yesterday that you were going to have some success if you had better field position starts and whatnot? Because that didn't happen either.
Well, I think, you know, really the field position was pretty good, you know, early for the offense. I mean,
they started one drive of the one.
That's not good. But after 7-0, the guy kicked it out of bounds. We got the ball in the 40.
True that.
Yeah. So, you know, and we got in scoring position. We missed the field goal. Sure, we could have gone for it on fourth and a long three. But, you know, we wanted points in that kind of game. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. You know, again, you know, when you don't move the ball, the field does flip, and, you know, they obviously capitalized on some of those field positions.
You did touch on it, on the suggestion that others today and quizzed you on, whether it be this morning or this afternoon, about going for it on fourth down or whatever, and the Bears have gone on fourth down quite a bit this year, but is there ever a point when you just say, hey, we have nothing to lose right now. We are 3-7 going into this game. We got a powerhouse team we're playing. You just say, hey, the heck with it.
Well, either way, it gives them field position. You know, later in the game, we did go for it on fourth and two, and that didn't turn out so well. So, you know, again, hindsight's 20-20. You know, the bottom line is it wasn't near a three-point or four-point game, and, you know, we just did not execute and perform up to standards.
What about the line of scrimmage yesterday, both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we lost Josh Sitton, that caused a little bit of a stir there. You know, we put Bradley Soule in at guard. You know, we did okay. You know, I think sack-wise, you know, wasn't like we gave up 9 sacks or anything. But, you know, when you have that kind of lead and you play with that kind of lead, I mean, I've seen them dismantle a lot of teams. You know, a Denver Bronco team that I know pretty well on defense, they put 51 on them. So they're very, very capable. And like I said, we just didn't play well enough as a football team.
One of the biggest things, and this is always the chicken or the egg, right, about plays and how come you can't do this, how come you can't do that. But if you're averaging 11 yards to go on third down, which was the case yesterday, you're going to have a really hard time winning any game.
No, it's, you know, again, those sticks are tough. And then, you know, they were, you know, counting third down, fourth down. I think we only won 9 of 21 on the other side of the ball, which, you know, enabled them to keep drives alive and score points. You know, and then on the flip side, you know, from our offensive standpoint, we were behind the sticks quite a bit. And, you know, it plays into to what they do, and especially what they do on defense.
Which Benny Cunningham was at the podium today, one of the two Bears, Mitch Unrein, the other one, to talk about the situation. And he was great talking about Mitchell Trubisky, for example, because everybody wants to know, okay, when's the completion percentage going to become consistent and whatnot? And he said, hey, if we don't make a play on first down, or we go 2nd and 4 and we go now a penalty is 2nd and 14, we're killing our quarterback.
Well, no
and
doubt.
That's a big part of it.
No doubt. You know, and I think, you know, something probably a lot of people don't realize is, you know, Mitchell's 11th in the league in third down passing, which for a rookie is pretty remarkable. So he's plenty capable, and that's with us, you know, third and some real longs. And, you know, hopefully we can get that better. And obviously it's better when you can establish the run.
You know, one of the things that you said when you got here 3 years ago was no matter what the situation was going to be in terms of the record or difficult games, which are going to happen in the course of a season and in the course of a tenure, you didn't want to see a lot of long faces. You didn't want gloom and doom in the building. You didn't want dread seen all over your faces of your players. 3 years in, has that been accomplished? Are they still focused on looking at the bright side of the picture?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, in this league, you know, it's carnival or crisis every week. And, you know, in Alice Hall, you know, where we go to work every day, I mean, guys, they understand. They're disappointed. We did not play good. You know, they sat in there for 2.5 hours and watched it again, relived it with their coaches. And they understand. I mean, they got to come back here Wednesday. It's got to be erased from their memory. Hopefully you learn something. And I think our guys will. And start preparing for San Francisco. You know, they'll come back. We won't see them till Wednesday, and they'll be back here ready to roll.
A couple of more segments with head coach John Fox here on the Bears Coaches Show. Our Xfinity Player of the Game brought to you by Xfinity. We gave it to Cravon LeBlanc last night, leading tackler for the Bears. Also had a couple of passes, defense, and forced a fumble late. Has forced 4 fumbles in the game, recovered 3 of them. And I know if you're looking at clean play and so forth, I know the Eagles won the game big, but they probably couldn't have been too happy about that, and they had a lot of penalties too. But, again, you guys are stripping the ball out, getting in there and really making an effort to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been close even on the interceptions. I think on the 4th down and 6th that they went for, that we stopped them, I think we had 2 guys touch it. Yeah, it went through Eddie Jackson's hands and then also Cravon. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the bright side, I mean, it was 24-0 at halftime. The final was 31-3. So, you know, it could have been different. You know, I think we responded, played better in the second half. You know, obviously not up to our standards. And, you know, you can't give a good football team that kind of jump.
Yeah, that's not going to work usually, especially on the road. And they're 7-0 at home, that Eagle team. And they just got that momentum going right now. They're doing a lot of things right. Yeah, the guy stood up there today, Mitch Unrein in particular, says, hey, they're hacked off about it. Everybody's upset about it. When you have, I know you have your leadership meetings. We've talked about them. What are you hearing now? What are you hearing from these guys right now?
Well, I think they just got to bear down. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's, you just got to work harder. You got to do more. You got to spend more time studying the opponent. We have to do a better job in practice, in preparation. You know, and that's how you perform well. And so, you know, guys got up their game. They got to hold each other accountable, and we all do. And, you know, all our signatures is 3-8. You know, somebody asked me a question today. Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? It's just what it is. And we got to fix it. We got 5 games remaining. There's 2 numbers out there. It's either 3-13 or 8-8, or they're somewhere in between. And, you know, that's what it is. We've got San Francisco coming to Soldier Field.
It's a lot of games to play. I mean, it's a month plus of football. You can't go into this thing thinking, oh, my God, I got to go out to practice every day. I mean, for you, too, as a head coach and your staff, I mean, this is not how football coaches think. They think about it one day at a time, one game at a time. Like you said many times, you're already thinking about the 49ers. This is old news. But to keep everybody thinking like that, is that difficult to do?
No, I mean, these guys are professionals. You know, this isn't a job, it's a profession. And, you know, every time you go on the field, it's on tape. It travels around the league. You know, whether you're a coach, a player, you know, anybody involved in the football part of it. You know, I think, you know, that's kind of the approach. And so these guys have a lot of pride in their profession. And, you know, it's not something you got to go do. You get to go do it. And it's a blessing. You know, we talked about it last week during Thanksgiving is, you know, we're all blessed. We get the opportunity to do something we love. And it's a profession that, you know, obviously you care about. You've been involved in it your whole life.
Are you doing anything out of the ordinary that you haven't in the course of your career to see this thing through?
Yeah, I think, you know, really, you know, my viewpoint's always if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it's not working, it can't be SOS. So we've changed a lot in the whole team.
I'm not even saying we.
Yeah,
I'm saying you.
Yeah. No, it's we change it up about every week, you know, so it's there's been a lot tried, let me just say that.
Also,
and we'll continue.
In the midst of what's going on, obviously you're being asked questions about your own position and so forth, and you're going to give the stock answer you give throughout the course of your whole career. You've been with three teams. Was there ever a time early in your coaching career when you saw other head coaches, you work with other head coaches that may have been in the same position, or even the first time you were in that position in Carolina, did it bother you more then than it does now? Was it a harder thing to hear back then when you first started a coach and you learned to harden yourself? How's that all work?
I think, you know, you're so busy and you invest so much of your time into this that you really, you don't even have time. You know, we call it outside noise. And, I think probably the harder part moving along, you know, when you have young children, you know, when they're four and they're jumping around, your game might be on TV if your family's watching it. They don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? I think when your kids get older and, you know, you've been through it for so long, you know, especially with your kids, I think it's harder on them, that stuff, because they're out there. I mean, we dig into this, you know, and we're not out in public. We're not out in that stuff. So we kind of are drilled into what we're doing. I think really for your family is what,
is that what creates whatever pressure you might feel? Obviously, you have a zest to win. You're a competitive person. You want to win. You want to see this thing through. But is that where the pressure mounts? For families of coaches?
It's not even pressure. I think everybody gets it, you know, as far as the longer you're in it, especially as long as I've been in it. You understand the business. It is a business. You know, that part of it's real. But as far as pressure, I mean, you know, I talk to players about it. There's two types of pressure. There's those you feel, and then there's those you apply. And, you know, I don't feel the pressure. I mean, nobody can put more pressure on me than me. So I don't really understand that, to be honest with you.
One more segment with Coach Fox. We'll take a look at the 49ers.
Snap and a bootleg. It's being read by Acho. Avoids and then hit from behind and brought down. They will stop him on third down. Drop down the play. Jonathan Bullard hurt from, and a sack of Wentz of 3 yards.
It's Jonathan Bullard earning more snaps. Had a sack yesterday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Back with John Fox. Tell us about Bullard. I think he had quite a few. I think he had 48 snaps yesterday.
Yeah, he's, we kind of had not played him quite as much. He was coming off of injury, but, you know, Jonathan had a real good game yesterday, and he'll get more snaps, you know, moving forward.
You know, it is, I'm sure it's difficult to point out the silver linings and setbacks, especially at this point in the season and whatnot, but you do have to recognize them in those team meetings, right?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's not all bad. I think everybody looks at the final score, and obviously that affects how you feel and digest the game. But, you know, I think, you know, some guys made strides. We got some takeaways that, you know, we hadn't had in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I thought that was big, and I think that was a big reason why we did so much better in the second half.
Everybody likes to hear the yelling and the screaming, right? That's what they think coaches should be doing behind closed doors or at the microphone. Or
it happens.
They do love that, right? So where did you learn how to not, as you said today, you're not into the finger-pointing game. You're not going to call individual guys out. You call a whole team out when they lose and so forth, because you clearly had to be around coaches that did it your way.
Yeah, I think, I call it like a family meeting. You know, I don't think you want your family business all outside. You know, so that's the kind of an agreement and trust I think you have to build with a team. I just would rather, keep our business in the family. I think there's enough information that gets out now today and, with all the social media and all that stuff. I think our guys handle that pretty well.
So today you tell them, hey, listen, 8-8 sure looks good.
Yeah, well,
five games left.
We've got to earn it. You know, we've got five games right now. I mean, the worst we can do is 3-13. The best we can do is 8-8. We've got a big test for us this week against San Francisco at home. And, you've got to start building on that one before you get to the last four.
And this is a 49er team. The record at this point, irrelevant late in the season. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Week to week, everything changes. It depends. It's the week to week drama. They're 1-10, but they might start Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, C.J. Beathard, according to Kyle Shanahan tonight. Knee contusion, hip strain. He'll decide by Wednesday what he's going to do. It's a quarterback with some reps as a starter with New England. He's kid who played here in the Chicago area, popular in that regard. So he could be coming in. You're going to prepare for both, obviously.
Yeah, I think they're completely different systems. I think it's probably taken him some time to adapt. Talking about Jimmy Garoppolo from New England to, Kyle Shanahan and his offense. There's no easy ones in this league. I think one of the things about the NFL is on any given Sunday, and you got to be ready to play. And that's going to be, all our focus will be on that come Wednesday.
And earlier in the season, they lost five games in a row by 3 points or less, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, that's the difference between good records and bad records in this league is how you fare in the close games.
They have some young players, obviously, by way of draft that stick out. Solomon Thomas is one, DeForest Buckner, other. So these guys are going to have to be guys that you're going to be circling the block on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, they put together a good squad. They've got, they're young, similar to us. They have some high draft picks, and they've been kind of searching the quarterback thing. They started off with Hoyer, and now they've gone with CJ, and now it looks like they possibly could go with Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's it should be a big test.
You feel the impact of losing Floyd and still not having Trevathan yesterday, because it impacts other players on the defense now too.
Yeah, I think anytime you have starters out, as a coach you prefer to have those guys. They're starters for reasons, but you still. You have to field a team, and we have some young guys step in. You mentioned Jonathan Bullard. Howard Jones had never played a snap for us. He was suited up for the game. And I think, other than on third down, I thought there's some areas of the defense that played pretty well. And so we've got to be able to build on that. We have all week to prepare and see how we execute on Sunday.
All right, Big John, we'll talk to you throughout the course of the week. Thanks again.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. Sean Desai.
The standard that we want to play at. And it doesn't matter who we're playing, what week it is, what our record is, anything like that. We want to go out there and show people how Chicago Bears play defense.
That is starting defensive lineman Mitch Unrein earlier today here at Hallis Hall, now joined by defensive quality control coach Sean Desai here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Good to have you with us once again.
Good to be here, Jeff.
And those are true words right there from a guy that's one of the unspoken leaders on that defensive line, not just the defensive line, but the defense in general. He's getting more and more praise from teammates over the course of this season. He's got an underrated, powerful voice in there that people don't know about, Mitch Unrein. And you're around these guys. You're around that defense every day. Did that hurt them yesterday, their pride and everything? Because it sounds like it did.
I think it hurts more when you know you can do better. It's a different type of hurt when you know you can do better. And I think that's how those guys felt. I think that's how we all felt, especially defensively. You know you're in some calls. You know you've done some things in practice and you've executed a certain way. And, for whatever reason, and who knows what those reasons are, they're so random sometimes. But when that performance doesn't always show up on every play, I mean, you know, and when you look at the game in hindsight, it's easy to look at the score and you say, okay, man, they played awful the whole time. But you know, when you look at it play by play and all 82 plays that we played, it wasn't all 82 that were bad. And so I think that that's what hurts those guys a lot, is because, you know, they played 65 to 70 of them pretty darn good, and then 15 to 20 of them aren't so good, and then the result is the result.
36 minutes plus the time of possession. Same thing happened at Soldier Field week two last year on that night game. They had over 36 minutes of possession time. Is it a byproduct of, okay, Carson Wentz, developing young quarterback, looks really good, right? But, man, you have to defend every blade of grass against these guys. He spreads it around so much.
Yeah, you know, I think Coach Pearson and that staff over there, they do a really good job. Carson's a really good player. He's really coming into that offense really well. And so a lot of credit goes to them. And, you know, for us, it's really just about executing our own techniques and our own assignments. And I think we were, you know, we had, I want to say, third and nine plus 10 times or something like that. And, you know, we got to get off the field on those. And we know that. And we had opportunities to get off the field. So it wasn't, I don't think it was anything schematic that, hey, man, they just were better than us. It was just, you know, a few lapses here and there. And then, you know, we made some plays also. You know, we took the ball away, which is really, really good as well. So, you know, that keeps you in the game.
What impresses you about what that kid is like right now, Wentz?
Oh, Wentz? You know, he's a big, mobile, athletic guy. He seems to play with a lot of poise out there. Doesn't get rattled. He can scramble, which is always a threat anytime you're trying to defend that kind of passer, because you got to worry about the scramble run, the scramble throw. Then he can, you know, throw the ball. He's got a good arm, so he can throw the ball from the pocket as well.
I thought that play when he spun out of there on the corner blitz, that was one of the nicest plays I've seen. I don't care, regardless of who did it, because he knew he was coming. But
yeah,
then at the right exact second, with eyes behind his head, basically spun away from Cravon, right?
Yeah, it was Cravon. And he's got a good feel for that. You know, yeah. Carson has a good feel for that. And we saw it on tape, that feel. And, you know, so we've got to do a better job as a staff to emphasize that and help the players execute in those situations a little bit better.
You do a lot. You do special teams and defense, obviously. So you're already diving into San Francisco. But, you know, in terms of what we're doing and what defensively, even without your starter and Danny Trevathan, without Leonard Floyd, did you feel confident that you could keep that game? Because they score points.
Yes.
And you knew they were going to score points. You have to know you're not going to be able to shut them completely down. That you were going to be able to somehow slow them down a little bit if you could get off the field.
Yeah, I think we did. You know, I thought we had a really good plan going in. We knew they were going to get their points, like you said. We knew they were going to get their yards. And they did. I mean, you saw a lot of long play drives, you know, 14-play, 16-play drives, which means we're doing a pretty good job and they're doing a pretty good job moving it. And then, you know, you just got to get that one play in that drive to flip it one way or the other. You know, whether it's at 3rd and 10, you get off the field, or you get a turnover at the end of the drive. You know, whatever it is, you got to be able to get that. And we knew it was going to be that kind of game. We knew they were going to get a lot of plays in, and we knew that we had to battle.
I hope so. And it's up to some of the veteran players, the older players who've been a part of situations like this, to make guys understand. Unfortunate enough for me, I was a part of something like that last year where guys didn't get it, and you don't understand that, you know, the average career is 3 years, and when you lose, everybody loses.
That's Benny Cunningham, one of the Bears running backs, here at Hallishaw earlier today, talking about staying focused on the job at hand in the final 5 weeks of the season, despite a 3-8 record and a loss to the Eagles yesterday. Back with you on the Bears Coaches Show from PNC Studios here at Hallishaw with Sean Desai, the Bears defensive quality control coach. And you've been here a while. It's not like you're a brand new coach either. So you're bridging organizations here in the past regime as well. Just watching you grow into your position over the years. It's interesting, your background. We've talked about it before. We'll touch on it in our next segment too. But, you know, you even had an opportunity this year with I forgot what game it was already now. Just went blank. But Saints game, you were able to be the guy that got the signals in for the defense.
Yeah.
Because Glenn Pyers couldn't make the trip. Another step in your progress and so forth. How emboldened was that for you to get that opportunity? It wasn't exactly calling plays,
right.
But no. It's a step in the process.
Sure, and any step you can take in the process is always humbling and appreciative. And so, you know, Coach Vic trusted me with that role, which is a big role, you know, to be able to signal plays that he calls into the defense from the sideline and then manage those guys on the sideline. So it was great. You know, it brought me back to my days at Boston College when I was on the sideline as a special teams coordinator and running back coach. So it was good. It was good to get back on the sidelines. It's a whole different set of emotions, a whole different set of feelings, and it was fun to be down there with those guys.
Did you have the butterflies?
No, you know, no? I didn't, because I've had that experience before. I tend not to get too nervous in situations like that. You know, I've had a lot of different experiences, which has prepared me. So I try to just rely on my training. And then if there is any type of questioning in my own mind, you know, I was out there 2 hours before the game testing the headsets, making sure I was comfortable with how I wanted to communicate to the players on the field and hear it from Coach Vic. So I was prepared.
It is sometimes organized chaos on the sidelines of a game, especially in the heat of battle. So is that the element that, if you're in the coach's box, that's a whole different level of intensity, but in the thick of it, while you're trying to do your job, is that something that has to be managed and you have to just deal?
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And it's, like you said, it's very different. You know, when you're in the booth, and, you know, I know guys that have been in the booth and never been on the sideline, or vice versa. Unfortunately, I've had the opportunity even prior to this year to be both, so I kind of had a taste of that. I think it would have been different if I had never been on the sideline before.
Because, do you think it's important for a young coach to experience both as they move in, in their career?
I do. I think it's important for any coach to experience both. Even when you get to the level of Coach Vic and you're calling plays and everything, he spent early part of his career on the field. It's important for you to be able to make that decision of where you want to be able to call plays from and why. I think that makes you more effective.
Plus the interaction with the players. You
absolutely
get right to them.
You know, so I know Coach Vic, he trusts his staff a lot. So that's a big step for a coordinator to be up in the booth, because then he's got to trust his staff to, reflect his feelings and his adjustments on the sideline, you know, immediately. And so a lot of coordinators like to be on the sideline for that reason. But, you know, he does a great job with the trust on his staff, and, you know, he empowers guys to do that. So I think it's a really good staff.
You're working with the defense and linebackers, and, you know, I'm sure you're working with everybody right now, but that linebacker position has really had some change repeatedly over the course of the season. But it hasn't hurt the defense, you know, overall. There's guys that have stepped right in. They've been familiar with the system and so forth. Has that been an area where the defensive coaches and Vic has been pleased with watching everybody blend together no matter who's in there?
Yeah, you know, I think, Coach Vic's been great. Like I said, you know, this year I've had the opportunity to work with linebackers and the secondary, which has been awesome for me. And I think when you get guys that have been in the room for a couple years now, which you have at both the ILB and OLB position, you know, guys that have been in the system a couple years, and the coaches, you know, have pretty much been there the whole time as well. That helps. That helps when guys get injured and, you know, get that next man up mentality, because guys have been trained. They're hearing the same type of coaching points. They're hearing the adjustments. So they know and they're prepared. You know, so that's a credit to obviously the players and the coaches around them.
Danny was having a great stretch.
Yeah.
Hope he can come back at some point here. He's been working through a calf. A settling influence for those guys, for the entire defense?
I think so. You know, Danny's respected by the players a lot. And you know, I'll say the same about a lot of those linebackers. You know, they've grown and earned their respect amongst those players. You know, we got some vets in that group on the D-line and even in the back end who've been around different systems. But those guys have all kind of grown their voice a little bit. And Danny is a settling point. You know, he's a leader of that defense. And to his credit, he's done a great job this year taking on even more leadership roles and being more vocal about it. And, you know, that's a credit to him.
That's Sean Desai in the studios with Sean Desai, Bears defensive quality control coach. You know, you do a lot. Your background's unique, one of the most unique with an educational background. And I know you've done some work at Lake Forest Graduate School of Management as well. You've had articles published in journals of higher education and whatnot. Do you still continue that in the offseason? Are there things that you still like to do outside of football that somehow, some form, help you become a coach in football and better coach?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, we've talked about this before. I'm a strong believer in my own educational background has prepared me to become the coach I am. You know, I got a higher ed background, and so it's really taught me how to be a leader. It's really taught me how to deal with adults and teach in different formats and different venues. And, you know, you got to still get a message across. So whatever the venue is, whether you're on a field or in a classroom, the bottom line is still the same. You got to get your message across and get whoever you're delivering that message to execute it at a high level. So that's really helped me. So, you know, in the off season, you know, last off season, we mutually approached somebody at Lake Forest Graduate School of Management. They saw my resume and kind of liked, I guess, my background and everything as well. So, it's been good. You know, I partnered in on a class over there last year in the off season, which was good. You know, do it in the off time, It keeps me fresh.
What was the class?
Obviously it's a business school, so I'm in the leadership department over there. So this was an intro to leadership class with all the incoming cohort of students.
Interesting. And how do you earn that respect from the team and from the players that you coach when you have that title of defensive quality control coach? You know, a lot of people, just average fans or whatever, have no idea what that means. And maybe the players don't either until you get right down into it with them.
You know, I think and one thing I've always felt about in terms of earning respect is that title doesn't give you respect. You know, titles are kind of manufactured and, given, whereas respect is earned. And so regardless of my title, I think you do the work that you need to get done. You have a knowledge base, and you show people that knowledge base when you have the opportunity to, and then they'll respect you. And I think over time, that kind of persists, and the ones that can't do that really, I think, eventually get kind of fall off.
Well, you're one of the coaches that already has done a ton of work because of, by virtue of your job on the 49ers. Snapshot look at their offense.
You know, I think they're improving. I do. I think they're starting to come together. Coach Shanahan does a great job over there, I think, with his offense in particular. It's a side I've watched a lot. And you could tell that those guys are getting a little bit more comfortable. The quarterback, they played so many quarterbacks this year, but CJ's been getting more comfortable. And obviously Jimmy came in for a few plays this last game, and he looked comfortable as well. So you see that they're improving and they're getting better, and I think he's starting to get it to where he wants it to be.
And our old pal Robbie Gould will be booting, so you use some special teams.
That'll be nice
too.
To see him.
How's he been? He's doing good, right?
Yeah, he's been doing good too, so it'll be nice to see him before the game.
All right, Sean. Thank you for your time. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeff.
Sean Desai with us on the Bears Coaches Show. Back to John Fox from earlier in our segment. Rough day all the way around yesterday and getting back home to Chicago.
My experience has been you like finding those problems before you take off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a nervous flyer, so that's good news for me. That's for sure. I'm not certain you are, but in terms of your history, did you ever have anything worse than that where you just couldn't get out? You had to call it a day.
Yeah, I think
stay back in a hotel.
That did happen. We had a brand new plane. It was actually a new model of plane, and I don't know, some light went on or something. It sat there the whole weekend, and we got stuck in New York. Yeah, so we did leave the next day. You just adjust. That's what we do. You know, things happen, and you adjust, and you get by with it.
And the byproduct of that is you guys can get some work done on the plane, obviously. Everybody wanted to get back home and so forth. But how'd you use your time, for example?
Well, with the iPads, and the Internet the way it is now, you can download digital stuff. And basically, I got the game viewed in the time there and even really started on San Francisco.
And what'd you see?
Well, it's pretty much what I saw on game day. I think, we played a really good football team. We were going to have to bring our A game in all three phases. Obviously, that did not occur. And, the guys, hung in there. I think it was 24-0 at halftime, and the final was 31-3. So there's no give up in these guys. We just got to play better. And, the buck stops here on that. We all have to do better. We have to play better and coach better.
And some of the whys of the loss that you've already touched on. But let's begin, go down the checklist quickly. Running the ball, obviously, is what you want to do. They're great at stopping the run. That doesn't mean you can't try to run against them or be patient running. But just so few of plays, obviously, because of the third down situations and not converting in that first half, led to a real difficulty in getting it done.
Yeah, I think it was 16 first downs to zero at halftime. You're not going to beat anybody doing that, especially, the best record in football, the Philadelphia Eagles. So, at their place. There's no excuses. We just did not play well enough, and we were going to have to play really well to beat them. They're a very good football team. Like I said, probably right now the best record in football. And I was really in all three phases, not just on offense, but, in games we've been able to run the ball, we've been competitive, won games and in games, and, in some situations where we weren't, we haven't been. So that's a real key to our offense and really keeping people off of us for four quarters.
And no matter what they do defensively, and they're really good, again, stopping the run, do you go in trying to believe that, yes, we will still be able to do it? I know we got to adjust our game plan to meet that demand, but do you go in thinking yesterday that you were going to have some success if you had better field position starts and whatnot? Because that didn't happen either.
Well, I think, really the field position was pretty good, early for the offense. I mean,
they started one drive of the one.
That's not good. But after 7-0, the guy kicked it out of bounds. We got the ball in the 40.
through that.
Yeah. So, you know, and we got in scoring position. We missed a field goal. Sure, we could have gone for it on fourth and a long three. But, you know, we wanted points in that kind of game. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. So, you know, again, you know, when you don't move the ball, the field does flip. And, you know, they obviously capitalized on some of those field positions.
You did touch on it, on the suggestion that others today and quiz Gian, whether it be this morning or this afternoon, about going for it on fourth down or whatever. And the Bears have gone on fourth down quite a bit this year. But is there ever a point when you just say, hey, we have nothing to lose right now? We are 3-7 going into this game. We got a powerhouse team we're playing. You just say, hey, the heck with it.
Well, either way, it gives them field position. You know, later in the game, we did go for it on fourth and two, and that didn't turn out so well. So, you know, again, hindsight's 20-20. You know, the bottom line is it wasn't near a three-point or four-point game, and, you know, we just did not execute and perform up to standard.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations. Donations benefit the Salvation Army and are accepted until January 1st. Thanks for listening, everybody. For head coach John Fox, defensive assistant Sean Desai, producer Dan Barilli, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson, I'm Jeff Joniak. Bears Niners, starting with a 9 a.m. pregame noon kickoff from Soldier Field on Sunday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.